Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Still praising the Lord, bro.
Oh, praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Praising Jesus.
Amen, amen. And he is the Lord. Praise the Lord. But today's subject, guys, it's something that this was big on the news, and if you follow any sort of liberal media, this is something, a narrative that is typically pushed quite a bit. And in fact, I wasn't planning on this, but I recently had a video sent to me by a brother in Christ who was questioning the QAnon subject, which is something we'll have to get on soon enough. Maybe that'll be a video series. But anyways, we have some brothers in Christ that actually have done some good stuff online that have contacted us as well, that we might be even able to interview on that subject. But QAnon and this guy, and you know, I watched this hour and a half video, and then of course it sneaks in right at the very end. It was, you know, anti-Zionism, you know, and anti-Israel, you know, and it's like this whole conspiratorial nature that turns anti-Israel. And I know that I knew a Bible study when I was a newer believer that was taking place, and there was a number of people there, and they were getting really, really involved, less with scripture and more into heavy conspiratorial natured videos, stuff that they just could not prove, stuff that I would disagree with, but also just stuff that, okay, you can't even prove that. Why are you digging so down this hole and not digging as far deep into a scripture? You're supposed to be going into a Bible study. That's pretty ridiculous to me. But then I noticed that what happened there was the bait and switch, where all of a sudden they were also becoming very anti-Israel. And yeah. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I'm not exaggerating. That was a Bible study about 10, 15 people that I knew. Most of them that were in that Bible study no longer follow Christ. Many of which became atheists, and now they just hate the government, and they think this big, you know, cabal of government is this big evil, but really they don't have an objective standard of righteousness to point out what is evil. But don't want to go down that rabbit trail. Just came in my head because I was doing some research on the subject, and that's what's going on. Is there's this on both sides, on the far what they would call right, but I think it's closer to Nazism than anything, and this far Nazism movement, and then on the liberal side you have this bashing of Israel. And a lot of people don't understand what's going on there biblically, what's going on there historically. And recently there were some comments. We're going to play a video for you. But I want to get a little bit of talking with Joe about this before we get into the video. But Seth Rogen, the comedian, the stoner comedian, you know, from Pineapple Express and these movies, he came out and was doing a podcast show with another Jewish man because he's Jewish. So, of course, he's an authority on the subject here, being a Jewish man. And he was talking about how he's pretty much been duped, you know, as a kid, that he was fed lies, and that any religious stuff, religion's just ridiculous to me. So I think this whole thing's ridiculous about Israel, and I was lied to. And, you know, there was people there that were living there, Palestinians and all this. So we're going to talk about, specifically in this episode, about the biblical teaching of whether or not Israel should be a nation, and also maybe a little bit about the historical. And we actually have a clip that was sent to us by a brother in Christ, Ted Walker, and he just messaged me today letting me know he had some issues with his gallbladder. He's going to be getting it removed. So he was sick and stuff. So we're praying for him. Yeah. But he's a great brother. We've gone to Israel with him Joe's gone with him a number of times, and we just recently went out there to Israel with him, big pro-life ministry and whatnot. But he's the one who actually sent me the clip, and I know Joe's already seen it, and I thought it was an interesting clip to check out, and then we can really dig right into, if you want. Yeah, we'll play the clip right now, and then we'll dig into whether or not does the Israel today, does it belong to the Palestinians, or is it supposed to be Israel?
Okay, so first of all, I'm not mad at the shocking comments that he made, but I'll explain why. So basically, Seth appeared on this podcast that is hosted by another Jewish comedian, Mark Maron, and here is what he said.
Well, you don't keep all your Jews in one basket. I don't understand why they did that. If it is
for religious reasons, I don't agree with it because I think religion is silly. If it is for truly the preservation of Jewish people, it makes no sense because, again, you don't keep something you're trying to preserve all in one place, especially when that place has proven to be
volatile,
pretty volatile, you know. And I also think that as a Jewish person, like, I was fed a huge amount of lies about Israel
my entire life,
you know.
Yeah.
They never tell you that, oh, by the way, there were people there.
As a Jew myself, who is living in Israel, it pains me to hear this. Because, first of all, if Seth Rogen, living his comfortable life far from Israel, doubts the sense that Israel's existence makes in terms of protecting the Jews, then 100%, he was fed a huge amount of lies about Israel. Because there is no doubt here. Israel is the only Jewish state in the entire world. If it doesn't make any sense to a Jew, then it is pure ignorance. Why do French people live in France? Why do British people live in Britain? Because it is where they are from. Same thing with the Jewish people. Without Israel, Jews don't have a place they can truly call home. During World War II, as Jews were rounded up, sent to death camps, to the gas chambers, and faced so many atrocities, their one wish was to return to Jerusalem. It was our 2,000-year-old dream. After 6 million Jews were murdered, Jews needed a safe haven, and Israel is that safe haven today. Israel Defense Forces are defending us from those wanting to destroy us. So, how can one say that gathering the Jews in Israel is not safe? It is the safest place for Jews. Even when tourists visit here, they feel safer here than being in their home countries. But you know what? Seth is right. There were people here. Jews! Jews never left Israel. Even during the exile, there was still a small group of Jews living here. It's actually the Palestinians that invaded this land from neighboring countries. You can tell that by their family names and the accents that show their origin. When Jews began to return home, the land was mainly desolated. They drained the swamps and began developing and rebuilding the land. What's funny is that after Jews began developing the land, a mass amount of Arabs immigrated here during the 19th and 20th century in order to take advantage of that. When the UN partition plan was accepted in 1947 in order to solve the conflict between Jews and Arabs living here, the Jews accepted to live alongside the Arabs in one part of the land, while the Arabs refused to live alongside the Jews because they wanted all of it. They declared several wars on the Jewish people, they lost. And today they are whining because they didn't annihilate us like they wanted to. Seth, it is totally acceptable to criticize Israel. No country is free of blemishes. But just like every other country, we have the right to exist. You as a Jew shouldn't serve as a weapon in the hands of anti-Semites. You probably didn't realize that, but I hope that you will use the voice that you have to speak up against anti-Semitism and blind hate.
I thought that the presentation there was done pretty well.
Yeah.
I thought he did a good job.
A lot of good points.
And it's good to have some historical backing as to what was going on there because we are lied to. And as someone who's visited Israel a lot, I know, Joe, you could attest to this much more than I can. I've gone twice. But I remember going out there, sharing the gospel with Arabs, sharing the gospel with Jews, sharing the gospel with owners of a kebab shop, or a shawarma shop, where one was a Jew and one was an Arab, and you're hearing and reading on Twitter about how it's an apartheid state, and you're just like, what are you talking about? This is just absolutely nonsense. And it's crazy, you know, just from a historical perspective, you can go and look at Israel, you know, back, you know, before it became a nation again. And you can go and look at Iran, you know, just come, you know, in the 1960s. And you literally, if you looked at Iran right now, in a picture of Iran right now versus the 1960s, you think that I had to take a time machine because they've gone so backwards in that area versus this flourishing Israel. But as important as the history is as well, which is nice to talk about, and I'm sure you'll get into that too, but it's more for anybody, if you're a believer, it's the scriptures.
Yeah, and the scriptures basically are the best history book you can find on ancient Israel because they're the only records of ancient Israel, you know, that we have, and a lot of the activity going there. We have, you know, some archaeological artifacts and writings to a degree, but what we mostly know about the history of Israel as a nation comes from their scripture, you know? And it's interesting because he's right. Before 1948, there were still Jews in the land, even after the exiles. Even after the southern or the northern kingdom, which was, you know, 400 and some years prior to, 150 years prior to the southern kingdom going to exile, Babylon. The northern kingdom went to exile, Assyria, the 10 tribes. Assyria came and took the 10 tribes. Well, Paul's from the tribe of Benjamin, you know. You have another from the tribe of Asher. You have different people identified from some of those tribes in the New Testament times, you know. And then, of course, you have the Jews that came back from the Babylonian captivity, you know, 150 years or so later, and making up. And by the way, that's one of the prophecies, too, because they were there was a civil war with Rehoboam and so forth after Solomon, and during the civil war, you had a divided kingdom. God said, join these two sticks. The two kingdoms would become one. And then after the exiles, Israel was one people again. The tribes were reunited. That was just part of the many, one of the many prophecies that we have. But before we get into some of the prophecies, just a few more historical points. You know, prior to 1948, you had the Palestinian Post, you know. The Palestinian Post was a strictly Jewish newspaper because the Palestinians were, for the most part, Jews at that time. So the Palestinian Post was a Jewish newspaper. In fact, it's interesting, even the Jerusalem Post, which goes way back as well. In fact, Ted Walker, you had mentioned, he gave me this beautiful, Ted and Linda had given me this beautiful big book, Jerusalem Post. It has all their front pages. So you just go, it's a big old orange cover, I think. You go through the book, and it blew me away the first time I went through it because you have these huge pages from the history of their front pages up, I think, starting in the early 1900s. I mean, you go through it long before they become a country in 1948, May 14th, and you go through it, and it's the Jerusalem Post, and it's about what's going on with the Jews and then on an international basis. And what's weird is when you get into the 1920s, you get the rise of Hitler. They don't know who he is going to be yet. So you start having, you know, the anti-Semitism of Hitler before the Holocaust begins, and it's just crazy. So you're seeing the Jerusalem Post, which is still around today, was existing long before 1948. The Jews were in the land. So you also had the Palestinian Symphony Orchestra. The Palestinian Symphony Orchestra, guess what? All Jews, not one Arab in the orchestra. And this is before 1948 as well. So I think this is very, very important to understand. Before World War II, you had a voluntary brigade from that Britain supported. And it was a voluntary brigade called the Palestinian Brigade. Guess what? All Jews again. They were, during World War II, this Jewish brigade was helping the British, right? The Allied forces. Where were the Arabs? Oh, wait a minute. That's right. The Arabs were on the Nazi side. They were serving Adolf Hitler. They were fighting with Hitler. In fact, there was even an entire SS division made up of all Bosnian Muslims. Okay. People need to understand some history here. Okay. And aside from all of that, you know, we have the scriptures, which is where we really need to look and see what the Lord says. And in Genesis 13, verses 14 and 15, the Lord said to Abraham, and Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from this place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And then in Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, this is not talking about the Mosaic law here. We're talking about the covenant made with Abraham to give to you and your descendants after you the land which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So it's imperative that we understand this. Now, of course, the Lord stated, right when he gave them the law, Deuteronomy 30 and 31, he says, he's giving them this law. They're saying, amen, we're going to keep your law. The Lord said, nope, you're going to break it. And when you break it, I'm going to disperse you throughout the nations to discipline you. But he said, I'll bring you back into the land. So he brought them back in the land more than once, guys. He brought them again in 1948. Now, some say, yeah, but when he brings them back in the land, if this was really what God intended, you know, they'd be Christians. They would.
That's what I was just going to ask.
They always say, oh, okay, great. They always say, hey, you know, when they become Christians, then they'll come back to the land, then they'll give it to them. Listen to Ezekiel 36. Listen to what he says when he brings them back into the land, beginning at verse 24. For I will take you from among the nations, which he has, gather you out of all the countries, and they're the only nation that's been taken from all these different countries, and bring you into your own land. There it is, folks. Then, the very next word, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will make this heart of stone out to be of flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land and I will give that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people and I will be your God. This particular passage is so important because some people say, oh, well, no, if when he brings them back to the land, you know, they'll become Christians first, or they'll be believers, then he brings, then he'll bring back land, then they'll be this, you know. And what's crazy about that is the text clearly says, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. Then there'll be this conversion. And Jesus uses language about you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And this is when a nation, after they're brought back in the land, and he's continued to do that to this day, a nation will be born in a day, we read in Scripture. So it's imperative that we understand the sequence of events. Is you have the picture that we should be witnessing is a bunch of unbelieving Jews from all over the world, from all these different nations, coming back to the land of Israel in a state of unbelief, being prepared to receive their Messiah.
Yeah, and it's, and I think this has such, I mean, not think, I know from the Scriptures that there's so much to do with eschatology and end time theology that has to do with the nation of Israel. And specifically, some of the most beautiful texts that we've talked about concerning Zechariah chapter 12, concerning, obviously putting that alongside Romans chapter 11.
Amen.
Very specifically. And Isaiah 53 as well. All of these texts.
That's right.
Coincide one with another.
Beautiful.
Unbelieving nation coming and seeing the one whom they've pierced.
They're converted when he comes back.
Believing the report now. Who has believed our report? They're coming. And then it makes sense with what Paul said in Romans 11, that all of Israel will be saved. Not that, not dual covenant theology like Mr. John Hagee, but no, we are talking about all of Israel being saved when the remnant that sees the ones whom they've pierced, then they will grieve bitterly, and the Spirit is poured out onto what? Jerusalem.
Amen.
And you see it all together. And then also Zechariah, Jesus coming, Yahweh stepping his feet on the Mount of Olives.
Yeah, that's chapter 14, two chapters later.
Back to, and then
so
boom,
we're in the
go
land
back to
again.
Acts chapter 1 to parallel that. Sorry.
Yeah. No, no, that's great. No, all those things are tying together well, Chad, because all those things tie Israel's conversion to Jesus coming and to the land, you know? And that's exactly what I was going to get into. So that, I love what you said. So it's interesting because, well, it happened again, though. Then they were dispersed again. Yeah, look what it says in Isaiah 11, verse 11 and 12. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. It's so clear. And you know what? So strong is God's faithfulness to the nation of Israel, his promises to Abraham, that he's a faithful God. He's not going to break them. In fact, listen to what he says to emphasize how important it is that we understand that he's committed to Israel as a nation. And by the way, well, yeah, but they broke his moral law. Yeah, you know, he divorced him in Jeremiah 3. And yeah, guess what? He divorced him in Jeremiah 3, and but he said he was going to give them a new covenant. Jeremiah 31, he's not done with Israel. Yeah, they're divorced from the old covenant. They can't be saved through the old covenant. That is dual, that's a heresy called, you know, dual covenant theology if you think you could be saved through the law of Moses.
Amen.
But it's through through Christ came, and it was all Jews who first came to Christ when the new covenant was offered. But the land promises that he gave to Israel were never rescinded. Their existence as a nation was never rescinded. They weren't to be assimilated as Jews into the church and then forgotten as a nation, because God made land promises to them. And in Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37, he says, this is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who declares the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord. Catch that? Only if these decrees, that's the sun shining, the moon shining, the stars shining, only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will the descendants of Israel ever cease to be a nation before me. I mean, if you really fear God and you really want to follow the God of the Bible, he stays. I mean, guys, as I'm looking outside right now, the sun's still shining. Amen.
Amen.
And I expect to see the sun and I expect to see the stars and the moon this evening. That means Israel has not ceased to be a nation before him. Verse 37, this is what the Lord says, only if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below be searched out, will I reject all the descendants of Israel because of all they have done, declares the Lord. Now, what he said at the end there really just floors me, because a lot of people say, well, he's done with Israel because of how wicked they became. Now, this is the very Jeremiah who says, through Jeremiah, the Lord says in chapter 3, divorce them. You're talking about, you know, 28 chapters later, he says, they haven't ceased to be a nation before me. And this comes, by the way, this passage on the heels of the fact that he'll make a new covenant with them. Yeah. That famous passage, Jeremiah 31:31, right before this.
In Hebrews.
It's so clear. And he says, despite all they have done, they're not going to cease to be a people or a nation before me. In spite of him saying, I'm going to divorce them, because he's got a plan to bring them back into a new covenant with them. In fact, it's important to understand, again, in Ezekiel, he says he brings them back in a state of what? Unbelief. So this is exactly what should be happening. So in fact, brothers and sisters, I encourage you, when you're witnessing, I think prophecy is underestimated as a witnessing tool. You know, there's all kinds of teachings on how you can witness and how you can be more effective witness. And I think a lot of them are great, but one of the most powerful witnesses is God himself. He says it's nobody else, none of these false gods can tell you the end from the beginning, but I will tell you, I will declare the former things, I'll declare what will come to pass. This is how he proves he's the one true God. Not to get too deep into that again, because we've talked about that, but my heart is like, I wish people would use prophecy more to show, guess what? God has been faithful to Israel. This is exactly what he said, and exactly about what he said about Messiah's happening. And this same God is saying that it's appointed man once to die, but after this judgment, and that you're going to stand before God, you're going to account for your life. And there's prophecies that there's going to be a certain amount of people saved. You could be among them.
Yeah, and that's one of the episodes, one of the first episodes I think we ever did on Good Fight Radio Show was I don't even remember how we called it, but it was like the missing apologetic. Like,
oh, interesting.
When you go out in the street.
I remember doing this. Oh, now that you say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and when you go out in the street, and we talked about this specific prophecy that you already mentioned, that this was prophecy, that not only prophecy, because I'm going to talk about the prophecy here in a second, but when it says in Isaiah 46, as you quoted, how do you tell this God the different God? Not obviously through the resurrection, which is also prophesied, which is also 1 Corinthians 15, a whole nother message we did, right? Concerning the scriptures, right? According to the scriptures.
Amen.
The resurrection is according to the scriptures. But when you look at it, what is he saying there specifically about telling the end from the beginning? It says in verse 13, very clearly, and you did a whole nother, you did a message on that. I think that was
a Sunday message.
That was a Sunday message.
Good memory, Chad.
That
wow.
You did, covering the topic of when God specifically says, this is how I am different than all these false gods that the nations believe in. How is he different? He is the only one that tells the end from the beginning. He is the only one who says in verse 13, I bring near my righteousness, it is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. So salvation will not delay, and I will grant salvation in Zion and my glory for Israel. So in the very context, as you mentioned in a much longer message, in a very same context of telling the end from the beginning, he mentions Israel by name.
That's right.
And that specific prophecy.
Yeah, one place he calls them his ancient people, that he tells their future, you know, along with what you just read, which I love the proximity of that particular verse. No, it's spot on, bro. I think it's interesting that Satan loves to attack these areas. He loves to attack. If I was Satan, I would attack Adam and Eve, foundations, the Genesis. You know, I'd attack the flood.
Amen.
I'd attack the book of Daniel, because you have all these prophecies that have come to pass, you know, and it just, it shows how real God is. I would attack a Jonah, you know, because he's a typology of the resurrection, you know, everything that he's doing. And I would attack, guess what? Israel as a nation, because they are a faithful witness to God being faithful. Their history, I should say, is a witness to God's faithfulness, that he is the one true God. So, and you know, this man, Seth, I'm sorry, you know, he's like Judas, you know, giving a kiss to Israel. I mean, basically betraying his own people. George Soros, you know, funding a lot of the chaos we see going on right now. A lot of the lawlessness, a lot of these people getting out of prison after killing people, because he's funding all these different prosecutors and so forth that are easy on crime. And that's fulfilling of scripture. But, you know, he stabbed his own people in the back during the Holocaust and turned Jews in and so forth. And he's Jewish, but he's anti the state of Israel. But you have these prophecies like Luke 21, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said about the end times, how miserable in those days what will be for pregnant and nursing mothers. For there will be great distress upon the land and wrath against this people. And he specifically speaks of 70 AD at that point, you know, when Israel would be hemmed in. But then he goes on to talk about also the abomination of desolation, the coming Antichrist and so forth. We put Luke 21, Mark 13, Matthew 24 together.
Debunks preterism.
Absolutely. And in verse 24, he says, they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive in all the nations, which happened in 70 AD. And Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles, which is happening right now. You have the mosque of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock on top of the Temple Mount until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So now we're in the time of the Gentiles. And the gospel is going throughout the entire world. But Paul goes on to say, and I think this is important to understand, he says, for I do not want you, brethren, verse 25 of Romans 11, to be uninformed or to be ignorant of this mystery. And unfortunately, too many Christians are uninformed or ignorant of this very mystery. Every time the Lord says, I don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed, you can bet that's one of the big glaring areas where the church is uninformed or ignorant. And this is one of those areas with Israel. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel, not a whole hardening, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. That's Jesus, folks. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So from the standpoint, Paul says of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance, irrevocable. And he goes on to talk about, you know, so he says, all Israel will be saved. And I think it's amazing because when you look at the scriptures, Chad, you mentioned Zechariah chapter 12, I will pour out on the house of David and the house of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication so that they will look upon me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. They will weep bitterly for him like one has bitter weeping over his firstborn. Then he goes on to mention many of the different tribes of Israel when they see the Messiah Jesus whom they pierce. We know what they'll say. It says they'll weep for him when they see the one that they pierce. Mm-hmm. We know what they say when we go to Isaiah 53, right? We thought he was stricken by God, but he was pierced for our transgressions. That's what Isaiah 53 is about, brothers and sisters. They're confessing their astonishment that, wow, we killed God on the cross. It's mind-blowing. And then in chapter 13, verse 1, right after that, says, in Zechariah, in that day a fountain will be open to them and for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for impurity. Now, this is astonishing because you read in Zechariah or Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 14. Revelation 7, guess what's going to happen to the world, man? The trumpet judgments are about to blow after the seals. Most of the seals have blown. Now the trumpets kick in after the fifth seal. The trumpets start blowing, and then guess what happens? Man, now we're sealed by the Holy Spirit and covered by the blood of Christ. We've got the Passover blood, amen, as the church. But these Jews are yet to be converted, right? So he seals 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe. And some say, well, that's symbolic. Well, if it's symbolic, it's symbolic of Jews being sealed. Maybe the number is symbolic, but it's still Jews being sealed.
It's not JWs,
yeah,
I don't think.
Exactly. It's not Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't believe it's the church. And guess what? Just like we read about the tribes being cleansed when they see him, when they pierce, it fits. And then in Revelation 21, verse 2, 9, and 14, listen to this, full circle here. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Now it's interesting, he goes on to say, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me saying, come here and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. Guys, get ready, man. This is where you're going to live forever if you love Jesus. We're the bride of Christ. It had a great and high wall, the 12 gates, and on the 12 gates, 12 angels, and the names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Brothers and sisters, there's the 12, the New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, has the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Israel is still identified as part of the bride. There were three gates to the east and three gates to the north and three gates to the south and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. There's the church. The church and Israel are both together in the end, but Israel is still Israel, and they're still descendants of Abraham. They still have their own distinction. And we're all the bride together because God isn't a bigamist. He's not a two-timer. He's one bride in the end. And those Jews who were divorced from the old covenant are brought into the new covenant through Jesus, who gave himself for their sins. But they still exist as Israel.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.